from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is away on a cruise, as a matter of fact. But don't you worry. Aaron Mason, well, my former co-host on Cairo Nights, joins us. Brother Mace, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you. Always grateful to have you in.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
You ready to brawl a little bit? We call this segment Agree to Disagree. You know, you and I, you made a comment that really kind of got me fired up. But we'll get to that in a second. But I want to, really quick, I want to kind of rehash what we were talking about. If you guys missed scenarios, it was a good one. Tune in to our podcast and you can hear what we were talking about at 10:45. But what we were talking about is someone had their daughter that's 15 years old ask if they can spend the night over at their boyfriend's house. I got to be honest about something. I took that time to play devil's advocate to try to see the other side of things. But man, that was a tough one. There's no way in heck that I would say
That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, can we at least argue if a 15-year-old should even have a boyfriend? Let's argue with that first before we start talking about spending the night somewhere. So I had to play devil's advocate just to get the conversation juicy and going. But usually I don't really comment to that. But, man, the fact that the person's 15, I had to come back and say my answer's no. I don't care.
You put your finger up in the wind, and then after the segment when you saw all the text messages come in, you decided to come back and say, I was just playing devil's advocate there, guys.
No. What made me do it was in my text thread with some friends of mine, and I had to tell them. And so because I told them, I'm like, okay, well, let me tell the listeners. No, bruh, 15 years old?
Yeah, there's no way the G I know would have let his kids do anything close to that.
Chef, you already, I mean, excuse me, Mace, you know, you've heard me talk to my kids back in the day.
Yeah.
15? Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Bring on the trains, y'all. British Columbia, Oregon, and Washington State just signed an agreement to pursue plans to build a high-speed rail line from Portland to Vancouver. It's a trip that would take only about 2 hours. This has been discussed for several years. I know it's come up many times on multiple shows here. But basically, on this side of the border, Washington and Oregon now plan to hope to compete for those federal transportation dollars in the Build Back Better plan. So it's looking like the possibility of this coming to fruition is becoming more and more likely. G, I have to ask you, would you support this?
Yes, absolutely. An opportunity to be able to get from Portland to Vancouver, BC in 2 hours, and not just for a leisure time, but what about a work situation? If you have an opportunity to work in Bellingham and you'd be able to make those travels. More and more, we're going to start to see more and more people have to go south in order to purchase home. Is there somebody in their 20s fresh out of college that's not in tech that's ready to buy a home on their own in Seattle? Good luck to you. Right. If you can, matter of fact, wherever you're working, are they hiring? Can I come over there? So more and more people are starting to go south. I love the idea of faster transit. What do you got, Mace?
Yeah, I don't disagree, unfortunately, for the name of your segment. Because I'm a big fan of trains. Like I grew up in the Northeast, and there's a lot of train travel everywhere, and it's not affected by traffic. You know, I know exactly how long it's going to take to get from A to B, unless something rare happens and it gets delayed. But I'm a huge fan. I think it makes sense. Train tech is very good. All around the world, Japanese trains going like 600 miles or 300, 400 miles an hour or something like that. Like it's nuts. I'm not expecting a bullet train necessarily, but it does help people get around this area for various reasons. And as we know, the traffic situation, the road situation in this area is abysmal at best.
Show me. I gotta say, I can't support this plan right now. Just seeing what's happened with Sound Transit, This is not a bullet train, Sound Transit, right?
That's unfair. That is absolutely not unfair. No. That is unfair to bring up Sound Transit. Now,
why?
If you want to, because it's, look, if you want to bring up Sound Transit and the behavior, or if you will, the nothing being done on time, okay, cool. Then that will support your argument. But can we just leave them out of it and then go about the idea? Pretend as if someone that is going to do this is going to actually do it right and have it on time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. One, I need to see a price tag. I mean, California has also been pursuing high-speed rail for years.
Yeah.
It's gone virtually nowhere. It's been stuck in almost every single community that it has to go through because the eminent domain process, even if legally the government can come and say, you have to sell us your home, the individual legal battles that happen in every single city, like, you're going to be going through, let's say, hey, it's going to go through Bellingham and Sumas and then down to Ferndale, right? Well, each one of those cities is going to have to say, yeah, we're cool with that coming through our city, or they're going to have to say no. I would not anticipate a project like this in the United States being completed for at least 40 years. I know that China can build cities with 100 million people in them over the course of 5 years. We can't build half of a highway in less than a decade, let alone a high-speed rail line
it's
all the
true.
Way to Vancouver and down to Portland.
I just, again, you ready for this one? Can we just get over it? Can we just move on and not talk about the past when it comes to roads and things? Okay. All right,
oh boy.
Oh, sorry. Forgot to turn my phone off there. Oh wait.
Yeah.
No, actually, this relates. The Wall Street Journal has this helpful little guide for people who are having notifications drive them crazy. With the increase of work from home, all the Slack messages, etc., and they want to give people tips on how to best optimize your phone to be less annoying. But I don't want to talk about my phone. And, gee, I don't want to be talking about your use of your phone and your notifications. I want to talk about social situations, all the other people around us. And I want to ask an etiquette question. And, Aaron, I got to start with you. When you're in a social situation, should, generally, your notifications be turned off?
I think so. If you are someone who does not have the ability to ignore them, then yes. I do want to talk about my phone. Me personally, I don't have a lot of notifications. There are a few default ones and texts. That's about it. Like, unless my phone rings with a call or I get a text from someone, it's basically not going off. And there's nothing that I find more disrespectful than having a conversation with someone face to face, looking them in the eye, and every 30 seconds they're looking down, checking their phone goes off, it's on the table, I hear the noise, and then okay, well, here we go, now you're gonna not pay attention to me for the next couple seconds.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's infuriating.
Well, let me look, you guys know, you've heard that I'm always on my phone. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But ask anyone, Mace, Chef, you guys been around me. You never hear any of my notifications. You don't hear them because my phone is always off. Mm-hmm. I'm always on it, but I'm always off.
Silent.
Now it's silent. Now, yeah. A couple of things I want to talk about here. Yes, I do think it's rude if you do have your notifications on, and especially if you're in a meeting. Like, it blows my mind when you're in some meeting or a conference and somebody's phone goes off. I'm like, rookie. Like, come on, man. I mean, mm-hmm. This is 2021. Really? You really got your phone on still? Like, you shouldn't even have to be reminded. But in my case, when I'm around and I'm having dinner with strangers, or not strangers, but maybe like people that I'm not, that's not in my bubble all the time, I don't really touch my phone. But that's why the friends that I have, the friend group that I have, that I hang out with constantly all the time.
All right.
They never say, like, gee, why are you on your phone? I rock with my people because they know I'm on my phone.
Because they give you that space.
They
That's
give
why
me
they're
my,
in your circle.
I'll go to their house and they know I'm going to be on my phone. It's not that I don't love them. That's just who I am. And that's why I like being around them, because they embrace that part of me. But I do think, you put it this way, if I was to hang out with you, you wouldn't call me rude if I was at your house. Chef, if you invited me to your house for dinner, something you've never done. Anyways, if you invite me to your house for dinner, I would not be on my phone.
Okay, well, congratulations. Gee, I can't give you any points for this because you basically have your phone notifications on already. Here's why. You are so embedded in your phone, you don't need the notifications because some people, the notifications draw them back to the phone. But if the phone is permanently connected to you and 8 inches in front of your face, you don't need a sound for you to go look at your device. And maybe this is like a generational thing, but I've just noticed my parents, older folks that I know, it's like a parental phone volume level where it is constantly... Boy. As high as it can possibly go, and it chirps all the time, and it's like right in the middle of dinner, bring, 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 drives me absolutely bonkers. Let's move on here one second. Hey, Thanksgiving is coming up, and gee, the other day, you sent me an article called How to Host Thanksgiving with Unvaccinated Family and Friends.
Yeah,
and it struck me that there are a lot of families that are making this decision. You know, what do we do with Cousin Ben or, you know, Aunt Stacy? Is she going to be able to come over? Are we all going to eat in the garage? And during our meeting this morning, we were discussing this article, and you guys brought something up, and I just want to ask you a question. Are we too tough on our own family when it comes to their vaccination status?
Yes, we are. We are, because there's some people that maybe you didn't allow someone to come to the baby shower, or you didn't allow to someone to come over for Sunday dinner because you're talking about vaccinations, but you have no problem going to a party. So let's say Mason and I go to a party, and at that party, it's not like you had to show your vaccination card, and not once am I going to go through the party. So, are you vaccinated, bro? You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. So we are harder on our families. I'm going to send this last concession on this and Thanksgiving. And here's my thoughts. If I see any articles that's like, hey, this is what you need to do when it comes to Thanksgiving and the vaccine and unvaccinated, just shut up. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. Thanksgiving, all bets are off, man. Straight up, enjoy your family. Maybe I'm not saying the right thing. Maybe I'm not, but sometimes I'm human. I'm telling you right now, it's 2021. Last year was hard, was tough, right? I'm seeing my family, period.
Are we being too strict with our families? No, I don't think so. I think you have the right to be comfortable. Especially if it's your party that you're throwing in your own house. And if you're someone who feels uncomfortable being around unvaccinated people, it doesn't matter if I agree or not. That's how you feel. So you get to call those shots. I have a friend of mine who last Thanksgiving went down to see family in Southern Oregon, and someone had COVID, and that person gave everyone their COVID, and it was, you know, not a great situation for a couple people there. So are we being too strict? No, this is a serious thing.
I'll say this: anytime you walk outside of your own home, and or someone else walks outside of that home and comes back to it, it's a risk, period. And then the goal over the last 20 months has been to do the best you can to lessen your risk.
Yeah, mitigate that risk.
That's it.
As best you can. Yep.
That's all you can do.
Yep.
I just hope we're at the point where we can all understand where one another come from and that it's not an argument anymore. I that's been my personal experience, and I hope it's the same for everyone else out there, that everyone just understands people have different thoughts about the type of risks that they take. And that's okay. And we still love each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except on airplanes where people are flipping out. Amidst that, United Airlines is bringing back the booze to economy class. Aaron Mason?
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, I've only flown twice in the last 2 years, I guess. And I didn't have any problems on my planes, but I see people are wound pretty tight these days. I know flight attendants are being pretty vocal about having issues with unruly passengers, and alcohol exacerbates unruliness. That's a pretty direct line you can draw. So would I like booze in my garbage economy seat that I could afford? Yes. It helps make that uncomfortable seat a little bit more comfortable. But I don't know. That's what an airport bar is for.
Come on.
If you're too messed up, you can't get on the plane.
Let's be real. Well, it is crazy right now. As a matter of fact, I just saw this morning, I was the head of TSA right now. This was on today. The head of TSA is saying unruly behavior on planes is higher than ever seen before.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been this way. And so let's talk about the alcohol. Yeah, bring the alcohol back on planes. First of all, you don't even get enough alcohol on a plane to really mess you up. Usually what happens is
I can try.
Yeah, you could try. But most of the time people get messed up. The people that they're messed up on the plane that are heading to Vegas,
mm-hmm.
they're drunk before they get on the plane. And that's number one. Number two, I do believe that unruly behavior is at an all-time high. I just hope that these airlines, and what they need to do is to stick together, is this. If you get kicked off and disciplined on Alaska Airlines, that discipline should follow you with every airline.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
A no-fly list. An unruly list.
Knock on wood. I don't know what it is. I guess I've gotten lucky. Everybody on the planes that I be on be solid as a rock.
And me
Everybody's
too.
Cool. I'm telling you, I do not want to be on a plane where somebody's not cool. Because if I see that you not cool, I'm automatically thinking, you know what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking, oh, this is an unruly passenger. I'm thinking this dude or this lady is trying to take the plane down. And so I got to respond.
You got
and, And I don't know if there's an undercover officer, because I've seen a lot of movies where there are, but I've never seen one or recognize them. So I'm going to pretend like there's not even anybody on the plane. I'm going to have to react.
You're going to turn into Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. That was a fun agree to disagree.
Yeah, we had a little disagreement here and
nobody
there.
Argued,
like
nobody
argued.
Nobody got hurt. Hey, coming up next. Britney Spears, text in right now. Do you sympathize with Britney Spears? We discuss that next. Gene Ursula with Mace. This hour of the show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. Coming up at 11:45, it'll be time for your text feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by that I'm sure I will need your help with. Brother Mace?
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, Brit won a court case where she is now out of conservatorship. If you've been under a rock lately, to catch you up, Britney has been not in control of basically her whole life. For 13 years. I think it happened after she kind of had a public meltdown. Her dad goes to court, says, hey, she can't take care of herself. You need to put me in charge of everything. And so for the last 13 years, Britney hasn't been able to, like, drive a car or access bank accounts or, like, leave her house. It's been pretty rough. So before the break, G, you asked what people thought, if they felt some sympathy for Britney. And I got two texts here that I like. 206. I did sympathize with Britney. Family should not be put in charge of others' money. A lawyer should have been appointed. Did dad keep track of everything? Didn't trust him for solo control. And then Nikki, I think, brings up a great point. Britney is a yes and a no. I don't like conservatorships. I will sympathize with her on that, but hard to otherwise because she has a good life otherwise. And so that brings up, I don't know if you have specific thoughts about Britney, but it brings up a big topic for me. But let me hear what you think about Brit first.
You see it. Free Britney. Free Britney. Free Britney. The majority of the folks saying free Britney probably have no idea what life was like before this Britney. Like, the folks that are older, we remember the older, the younger, excuse me, Britney Spears, right? Before 2007. And to me, her decline started in 2007 after her divorce to Kevin Federline.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
right.
During that time, right? And then all of a sudden, you notice this whole conversion, this whole thing started in 2008, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because it was, in my opinion, it was put in place to save her life. If not for that, I believe Britney would be dead. Mm. Now, can you argue and say the parents went to the extreme? No doubt about it. Now, a lot of these child prodigies and child parent relationships kind of get out of hand when you start controlling those things. I'm not trying to absolve Britney's parents away from the things that they did. But like Chef said earlier this morning, let's keep it all the way a buck. The reason why Britney turned into the Britney and changed for so long is because of the pressure, because of the paparazzis, because of the thirst that we had to see yeah. her at all times. So I'm just glad she's still alive today. Maybe it did go off the hook a little bit, but I got to tell you, I do believe that she's still here today because that was put in place.
Here's a little clip of Britney. This is real recent. She posted this to social media.
So I'm just grateful, honestly, for each day and being able to have the keys to my car and being able to be independent and feel like a woman and owning an ATM card, seeing cash for the first time, being able to buy candles. It's the little things for us women, but it makes a huge difference. And I'm grateful for that. You know, it's nice. It's really nice.
So I saw that video all the way through. Mace, I saw it all the way through. I saw it early this morning. And when you see the video, please look it up for yourself. When you see that video, you think Britney's okay? Look at the video.
All right.
You think she's okay, Mace?
No. No.
Thank you.
I don't. And I don't think she has been. I mean, this is what fame can do. That text I read earlier about it's hard to feel sympathy with her, like I kind of do, but she has a good life otherwise. That idea that I think that texter just means rich, right? Because she doesn't have a good life outside of she's rich, and we don't treat rich people like humans. We go either they're an athlete that makes a ton of money, and every time they try and make a complaint about something in the world, we go, shut up, you're rich, you have nothing to complain about, mm-hmm. or the opposite, or because your boy Elon is very wealthy, he's some sort of exceptional genius, can do no wrong kind of thing, or. Yeah, there's a billion excuses for how he got there. I worry about our collective obsession with this stuff, right? That she is really a victim of our society.
When did Britney Spears hit the scene? How old was Britney at that time?
I'm gonna say like she was probably like at her first
Eight?
Album.
10?
She was on the Mickey Mouse Club for a right. while.
Yeah.
Brittany and I are about the same age. She was on the Mickey Mouse Club for a while, and then her first album came out. She was probably around 16, 15, and I'm going to say that was late 90s.
So imagine that. And she was on Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm-hmm.
The pressures that she has had for all this time. I'm telling you, man, look. I don't know what it's like to be really, really, really famous. And when I was younger, I used to want to be really, really, really famous.
Mm-hmm.
Being my age right now and kind of getting an understanding, and I'm sure you probably can agree with me too as well, I don't want to be really, really famous. I want to be able to make a mistake
yeah.
and say,
yeah, right.
my bad, and be able to be okay.
Right. To be able to go to a store. Be somewhere and not be, you know, recognized.
Yeah. Something. Chef, what you got on this, bro?
Well, my one takeaway is basically that Ursula Roitin was right all along, and here's why.
Time being able to buy candles. It's the little things for us women, but it makes a huge difference. And
see? Ursula was right. candles make great gifts, G. They make a difference in women's lives.
Chef, is she okay? You see that video?
She don't look okay, man. She looks like someone who has lived her entire life in the public eye and has been traumatized.
Yeah.
She looks like one of those animals that you'd see in a cage from like a 1940s zoo that is absolutely jangled out of its mind from having people harass it 24/7 its entire life.
Right. I agree. And it reminds me, do you remember back when this stuff happened? Craig Ferguson had a late night show. He was the Scottish guy. And he came out and everybody was doing Britney Spears jokes. And he had a monologue and he said, you know what? I'm not doing these jokes because I had a big drinking problem. I know what it's like to be an addict. I know what it's like to be mentally unstable. And this girl is going through an episode and I don't feel like it's right to poke fun at her and kick her while she's down. And I think that's a good sentiment that we can carry and try and treat other people that way, regardless of fame or money or any of that status.
360 texts in and says, look at Michael. I'm assuming they meant Michael Jackson. Too much control and fame too early will mess you up. And boy, whew, so true. Hey, coming up next, your texts, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by with your help, of course. G and Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula show. Mace fills in. It has been a great show.
Yeah.
But let's get to the text. Ursula is on a cruise, so none of you can tattle on us. 206 says, you do know the Cairo app works great on board cruise ships. Ursula's definitely listening, and she can still get those Facebook messages, LOL.
She's on vacation. She ain't listening. 360, wait, is G now the voice of reason on the show?
If you would have heard our scenario segment, you would probably say no. Insurance claims. 425 says, wow, Mace, your statement about insurance companies being the devil is really offensive to those of us that have spent decades in the insurance industry taking fantastic care of our clients. By the way, when you said that, I knew that that was coming. Anyways, my clients would totally disagree with you. They know they can reach me anytime and that I will take care of them and that our claims office will not fight them tooth and nail on every single detail of their claim. Wow.
I don't hate the player. I hate the game.
Bam!
That's what it's about. Should you have your turn signal on in a turn lane? 206 says, I laugh at everybody who turns on their turn signal in a dedicated turn lane. It's comedy. I tease them every time.
206 says, yes, because if I don't turn it on, I don't know if you know you're in a turn lane, and I don't want anyone to run into me.
That's it. Nikki says, gee, I use my blinker even in an empty parking lot. I'm so pro blinker, so yes, it's so important. My first bumper sticker says, visualize using your turn signal. Still my favorite.
I'm going to tell you what you don't want to do. You don't want to get into a car accident in a parking lot, because when the police come, they can't really say who's at fault. So, it gets weird unless you got video. 253 says, I work as a milkman. That's funny. And spend over 50 hours on the road. I totally agree with you guys. In today's day with cell phones, so many people have drive distracted, and you must do everything to let them know what you're doing on the road to stay safe.
Elon Musk's World Feed the World Challenge, 425 says, money won't solve food shortages. India is trying to send food to Afghanistan, and Pakistan keeps blocking it. There's enough food in the world. There's just too many evil people keeping it from getting where it needs to go. If this group can show Elon how he'd stop that, I bet Elon would pay because he's backed into a corner.
Scenarios. Should I let my 15-year-old daughter spend the night at her boyfriend's house? 206 says no. Isn't teenage sex more fun anyway when it's sneaky and forbidden? I don't even know why I read that text.
Julie B said, I made sure that my daughters are on birth control and I'm okay with sleepovers. I would rather they do it in a safe space where they say no and the person doesn't listen. I can be there to help.
Oh, interesting. 360 says, if kids are going to do what they're going to do, then just buy some pot for them and have it in your house. Same logic. Why make it easier for them?
I'm going to go to the human library. We talked about having different conversations, learning people from people who are different from you. 425 says, I want to give G a vulnerability award for sharing the story of his youthful cultural ignorance. Love you for that. Awesome role modeling of owning up to a mistake. Look, everyone, he survived. You too can admit when you've been wrong.
Christy says, I went to school on Whidbey Island. There was one black guy living there. None at our school. Then when I graduated, we moved to Everett in a mainly black neighborhood. I became friends with our neighbors and in a conversation one day, straight up told them about my growing up years. I asked my friend what her thoughts were on, quote, we are black, beautiful people, and we all bleed the same and have the same wants, needs, and desires as everyone else. We hugged and went on about our day.
Through 253, there's a difference between naive and ignorant. Naive is when you've never heard it or experienced it before. Ignorant is where the facts have been before you, but you have chosen consciously or unconsciously to ignore them.
That's a fire text. Let's get to the words to live by, Mace.
Okay, words to live by. Here's two quotes for you, two famous women on fame. The first is Claire Danes, the actor Claire Danes. She says, people confuse fame with validation or love, but fame is not the reward. The reward is getting fulfillment out of doing the thing you love. And then Alanis Morissette said, fame is hollow. It amplifies what is there. If there's any self-doubt or hatred or lack of ability to connect with people, fame will magnify it. I think that's very true. Words to live by, brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other.
Appreciate you, Mace. Look forward to doing this again tomorrow, brother.
You got it, pal.
All right, man. Chef, thank you for your help. Appreciate you. And Andrew, always appreciate your help behind the scenes. It's been a good show today. You guys, make sure you go out there and be kind to someone. Or if you don't get out there and you're on social media, be kind to someone there. We'll do this again tomorrow. That's right, same time, 9 o'clock. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And make sure you be good.